You're listening to Juno Afternoon. Support for Juno Afternoon comes from Heritage Coffee Roasting Company, providing Juno with locally roasted coffee for over 40 years with 7 cafes and drive-through locations throughout Juno. More at heritagecoffee.com. I'm your host, Shelley Delaney, and my next guests are here today to share some information from the Douglas Dornan Foundation. Welcome Paul Douglas. Hello, Paul.
Hi.
And Sue Douglas. Hi, Sue.
Hi, Shelley.
Thanks so much for being here with me today. First of all, how are you guys doing?
Very well, thank you.
We've been enjoying the good weather in spite of COVID and hanging out in the yard and grateful for it.
Well, Paul, let's start with you. You're the fund advisor for the Douglas Dornan Foundation. Would you please share a little bit about the foundation for some background?
Sure. The fund was created in late 1993, in memory of my son and daughter-in-law, Brian Douglas and Whit Dornan, who both passed away in an automobile accident in 93. And so we're into our 27th year of making grant awards in Southeast Alaska. The goal of the foundation is to support nonprofits focused on enhancing the health, education, and welfare of individuals living in Southeast. And we put a little bit of special emphasis on youth and young people, because that's an area that my son and daughter-in-law were very involved in the short time that they were in Juneau.
Sue, would you like to add anything to that? And could you tell me a little bit about your involvement with the foundation?
Well, I became involved with the foundation through the generosity of my husband when I married him about 18 years ago. So along with Paul and four other people, we are the quote-unquote trustees of the fund. And so we get together once a year after the annual grant requests come in, and we all individually evaluate and talk about how to award these grants. So my involvement came through the family, but I was not a part of Paul's or Brian and Whit's life early on when it was first established after those wonderful kids died in that accident. And Brian's mother was alive then, too. So Paul's first wife, Jeanette, was a big part of getting the fund established. And then she passed away in 99, and Paul and his other son, Jeff Douglas, who a lot of people know. Jeff is a disabled individual, and the two of them came to Juno in 2000, and I very fortunately met Paul after that, and that's my history with the fund.
And Sue, what do you enjoy about being a part of the work or a part of the foundation?
Well, I've lived in Juno about 44 years, and I love Juno, and I've watched Juno evolve, as all cities do, and it feels so good to be, I lived in Skagway for a short time too, so I'm fond of Southeast, and it feels like a real privilege to be involved in something where you can actually contribute to the health of a community. And I love that part, and I love the part that we individual trustees look at each grant request very individually. We don't sit there and at first say, okay, let's just all agree. We each have our own perspective that we bring to the table when we look at them. And so speaking for me personally, I love being able to do it that way and to lend what I might know about the community or a certain organization, because all these grant awards only go to nonprofits, 501c3s. So if I know a little something about a certain nonprofit, I could contribute that way. And it just feels good to be able to be part of a group but also contribute as an individual back to the community.
Thank you, Sue. Anything to add to that, Paul?
Well, I think all of the trustees pretty much feel the same way. I rather enjoy this every year. We have an annual process that we go through, and we're in the middle of that right now. And we accept applications up through June 1 each year. and I get kind of excited about it. And then, unfortunately, we're not a large fund, and so we have to be somewhat discerning in how we make grant awards. But it's very interesting. And there are a total of six of us trustees, and we all bring some special expertise to the table that's a little bit different and different perspective, and that melds together amazingly well as we evaluate the applications we get each year.
I want to add something real quick too, Shelley, backing up a little bit. When this foundation, the Douglas Thornton Foundation, was established, it was simply a foundation. But a few years ago, the foundation itself technically stopped, and the fund of the foundation is in the Juneau Community Foundation now. And that happened in 2009. So, and there were a lot of good reasons for doing that. We had a well-established community foundation here by that time. We knew that the assets of the fund could grow better if it were in the community foundation. And there's always the oversight of a foundation like the Juneau Community Foundation over the funds that are in it. So it was a win-win. And when people hear about, like right now, that the granting cycle is in place right now, people can apply right now for till June 1st. They can go to the Juneau Community Foundation website and see the instructions, see the application, or they can call our home number. We give it out and answer questions here. But the point of telling you all that is we are not the final say. When we talk about the trustees and we review the grants, we're doing it as what are technically called donor advisors. And we're going through all these applications, and then we're making recommendations to the Juneau Community Foundation on those applicants that we'd like to have grants awarded to. And that's our partnership, so to speak, with the Community Foundation is really great, and it's nice that it works that way. But people need to know the final say is from JCF, and they write the checks.
I'm glad that you mentioned the connection to the Juneau Community Foundation. They do a lot of work here in Juneau, and it was good to get clarification there. Today, you both wanted to talk to our audience about the grants becoming available to organizations and individuals. Paul, do you want to start and tell us about some of these?
Some of the grants that we have made? I'll just rattle off a number of organizations that we have made grant awards to. Last year, for example, AEYC,
Association for Education of Young Children.
Right, it used to be NIAC, and it's taken me a while to get rid of that first letter. Discovery Southeast, Friends of Zach Gordon Youth Center, Juneau Alaska Music Matters, JAM, Juneau Dance Theater, Juneau Nordic Ski Club, Juneau Youth Sailing, Lynn Canal Running Camp, Sail, Orca. There are but a few of the many different organizations. Now, these are pretty much local, but we get applications every year from Sitka, some from Ketchikan, Haines, occasionally from Gustavus. So we are chartered to make grant awards to nonprofits throughout Southeast. And we put them all in the pile and sort them out and make our recommendations to JCF, and they've never turned us down on anyone. So I guess we're doing things kosherly, if that's a word.
How have the past recipients been using the funds? Do you have any fun examples or stories about what they've been able to do with that money?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked, because it's not so much the organization that it goes to; it's what's the money for?
Mm-hmm.
How are they using it? And we're always happy when we get reports at the end of each year from those organizations that got grant awards, because we want to hear how they spent the money. We want to know what good is it doing and how did their plan work. And we actually kind of insist on that if they want to apply again. It's just a good track record on how well is this working. So, for example, the AEYC, the Association for Education of Young Children, we've supported that before, and last year that money was given for the Dolly Parton Imagination Library, mm-hmm. and that's a big reading program that's very, very successful for very young children, and we're always happy we can give money to that. Discovery Southeast, nature science programs for children, youth who are at risk and underserved. The Juno 4-H Luge Club needed some money last year for new sleds, and it was getting to be a crisis. They needed some new sleds. Sitka Maritime Heritage Society, they needed some lumber to make an accessible ramp. And SAIL, it's got a big project going that they're going to continue to need funds for. They're helping to rehab and restore the Eagle Valley Challenge course out there at Eagle Valley. Some people remember it as being where the Saga Camp was. Mm-hmm. So it's a real variety of things, and it serves a variety of people. And just because Paul said, We like that emphasis on youth, but it's not exclusively for youth. But remember, it does need to go through a nonprofit.
Mm-hmm.
Now, has anything changed about your usual operations in response to COVID-19, or will the current situation affect how you're looking at awarding funding this year or how you'll select recipients?
I think we'll find that out after we look at the applications that are starting to come in. I personally fully expect we'll see some of that.
Yeah, I would expect that to be the case. Nonprofits typically wait until the 11th hour to submit their applications. It's just a way. It's like going to the university. You don't ever turn in your term paper or even start it until you absolutely have to. And so I only have a few applications in hand right now, but I would anticipate in the next 2 weeks for the rest of the month, that they will begin to come streaming in. Last year we received 28 applications, and I think we made something like 12 grant awards. And I would expect to maybe see more applications and or requests for larger grant monies if they are available. We'll just have to wait and see what we get, though. It's too early to really measure the impact of the COVID situation.
And it's always a tough choice, and it may be tougher this year because we don't have enough money in the fund to cover every request, every eligible request. So we have to kind of weigh them and hope we're making best choices or best recommendations because we can't grant them all.
And by the way, speaking of money, and we don't ever turn down any donations. You can make a donation to our fund if you want through JCF. We'd be more than happy to take any donations.
I was just about to ask about that. How can our listeners, if they want to help out, if they want to support you and what you're doing, how can we support the foundation fund? Tell us how to do that.
Well, the website is junocf.org, and that's absolutely the way to do it, is do it through the Juno Community Foundation.
It's designated for.
And if anybody has any questions about that, they're certainly welcome to contact us, or the same thing about the current application process. But that's the best way is to do it through the foundation.
Right.
All right. And
if you happen to receive a donation, we would turn right around and put it in the fund, in the foundation.
And I do want to ask about the application process. Is it very complicated? How do people get started? How much time should they plan to dedicate to it when they decide they want to apply?
Okay, the application itself is available online at junocf.org. It's 4 pages long. We hope that most people can restrain themselves in terms of sticking to the 4-page application, but many don't. I don't think it's overly complicated. We want to know about the organization, and then specifically what they intend to use the any grant funding they receive, what they want to use it for, how many people will be served in the from that the grant to the best of their ability to estimate, that kind of information. It's not overly complex, and my guess is an application could be put together in no more than 1 or 2 hours max. And many of the applicants are repeaters, and so some of our grant applications are come out of an automatic follow-up file, and with some of the organizations we've worked with over the years, and so they're used to filling out the application. We're more than happy to answer any questions, and whether a particular project that an organization has in mind is something we would consider or not, all they have to do is give us a call, and we'll do our best to answer their questions.
Okay, and I know the application is available at the website that you mentioned before, junocf.org, and you've threatened to give out your number a couple times. We better do that now so our folks listening can write it down.
Well, it is okay, 463-3042. It's also on the application and available on the website.
All right. Paul and Sue Douglas, the Douglas Dornan Foundation, Foundation Fund, talking about the application process. The deadline, when is the deadline again?
June 1.
June 1. Okay. Well, thanks both of you so much for speaking with me today and for talking about the grants and the foundation and telling us how we can apply for those. Is there anything else you wanted to share today with our listeners?
Well, just that in spite of the fact that the fund is not limitless, and we can't award to every applicant, we hope we get lots. We hope we see a variety, mm-hmm. not just the repeaters. Maybe we'll see a few new ones this year. We always enjoy that. And we encourage people to apply. And if they don't make it this time, maybe they will next time.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Sue. And Paul, anything to add?
No, I think that covers it pretty well. And we appreciate the opportunity to talk with you today.
I appreciate talking with you as well. So thanks so much. And now I'll let you get back to enjoying this beautiful day.
Thanks
so much.
Bye-bye.
Bye now.
Paul and Sue Douglas. More information about the Douglas Dornan Foundation Fund at junocf.org or give them a call, 463-3042.